It's high noon in New York and time for Kate Smith. Brought to you today by Sanka Coffee. The coffee that not only is delicious, but that always lets you sleep. Here she is, Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. Well, Invasion Day has come and gone. The waiting and the tension are over. Now we know that our gallant armies are fighting on the mainland of Europe, fighting to restore to that enslaved continent its most precious possession, freedom. As you know, not many celebrations greeted the good news. In fact, most Americans preferred to be by themselves or with their families and listen to the radio bulletins. But churches all over the country were crowded with streams of worshipers passing in and out to ask divine protection for their loved ones. The people of the United States preferred to take D-Day seriously and prayerfully. There was no confetti, no wild demonstration. Instead, thousands of Americans responded to the good news in a much finer and better way. Throughout the country, they trooped to blood donor stations and war bond booths. War bond sales increased. Payroll offices of factories were swamped with bond buyers. Some cities started their fifth war loan drive early and have already sold their quotas. Yes, Americans are rallying behind our gallant armies of liberation storming fortress Europe. But don't forget for one moment that the war is far from won. So here on the home front this noon, let's renew our determination to do everything we can to speed the day of victory for our fighting men. Let's volunteer at our blood donor stations again and again. Let's buy more bonds and keep on buying them. For if we can help end this war one day sooner, if our efforts can save the life of a single American boy, who can say that any sacrifice we can make is too great? I'm going to ask you now to put yourself in the shoes of some war worker for a moment. Your own daughter, maybe, or son. What do you suppose he thinks about when he comes into the house in the wee hours of the morning when all the rest of the family is asleep? Are there fresh sandwiches waiting in the icebox? Maybe a big, nice slice of cake, the kind that he likes best? And how about coffee? Is that all measured out and ready for him to turn the gas under? He'd enjoy a good hot cup of coffee.
Especially if it's Sanka coffee, hey, Miss Smith?
That's right. I think a fellow who works the swing shift will be especially grateful for Sanka coffee because he has to sleep in the daytime when things are naturally pretty noisy. He can't afford to add to that handicap by drinking a coffee that might also keep him awake.
So, being a wise man, he drinks Sanka coffee. You know, it's the caffeine in coffee, not coffee itself, that robs so many people of sleep. And Sanka coffee has had the caffeine taken out. 97% of the caffeine has been removed, so Sanka coffee can't possibly keep anybody awake at night.
So be sure to try it. I'm sure that everybody will enjoy Sanka coffee. And now, Ted, what's new?
The Allied Army of Liberation is fighting its way inland this noon from the beachheads established along the Normandy coast of France, and reinforcements are being poured into our continental foothold by ship, glider, and parachute for the obvious purpose of making it stronger. As yet, we have no clear-cut picture of our penetrations in length and depth, but it appears that we hold an approximate 60 miles of coastline between Cherbourg and the Seine River, and that we've moved inland to a depth of possibly 10 or 12 miles. Clouds are hanging over the Straits of Dover between England and France at the moment, and now and then breaks appear in the clouds, affording a good view of a great aerial troop carriers, which are pouring fresh men into the struggle. Some of these sky trains are 50 miles long, indicating that thousands of the Army of Liberation are being carried into the struggle by air. Latest reports say the German resistance is stiffening, which is to be expected. In the early hours of the invasion, German resistance was surprisingly weak, but now that it's growing stronger, it hardly comes as a surprise to our high command. Berlin claims that German reserves moved into positions around our lines during the night, and now they're launching terrific counterattacks. Reports of German reinforcements being rushed to Normandy have been confirmed. They've been confirmed by a dispatch from a correspondent aboard the cruiser Augusta somewhere off France. It says that the German 7th and 15th armies, and they're commanded personally by General Rommel and made up of both infantry and armor, are rushing to Normandy. But be that as it may, we still hold very strong cards, inasmuch as we have command of the sea and the air. Challenges by the German Air Force so far have been very feeble. During yesterday and last night, our planes were so active that they flew 13,000 individual flights despite poor weather. And perhaps the best summation yet given the first 24 hours of our invasion came from Admiral Sir Bertram Ramsay. He's the Allied Commander-in-Chief for the sea. He says, "We have broken through the crust of Hitler's seawall. We have made it possible for General Montgomery to fight a land battle." Now, what he left unsaid is that the land battle is still in its preliminary phase. Thus far, the Germans have been strictly on the defensive, for they still do not know whether General Eisenhower has struck his main blow or whether the main blow will fall elsewhere. Before the Nazis can launch a counteroffensive, they must know where the main blow is falling so as to have enough forces deployed to meet it. Otherwise, the Allies might dive in where the Germans have overexposed themselves. General Eisenhower's new communique falls into the category of the strictly uninformative, but for a very good reason. If the Allies said anything much about the assault in detail, it would be a godsend to the Nazi command. So the attitude at Allied headquarters must be to keep them guessing. The communique says merely, "Allied forces continued landings on the northern coast of France throughout yesterday, and satisfactory progress is still being made. Rangers and commandos form part of the assaulting forces. No further attempt at interference with our seaborne landings was made by enemy naval forces. Those coastal batteries still in action are being bombarded by Allied warships." And the balance of the communique was devoted to aerial activity. Both Allied headquarters and Berlin are agreed on one thing, that Allied reinforcements are pouring into France. In addition, Germany claims that its mobile formations are being rushed into battle, and the Nazis admit that Allied airborne forces have occupied an area between Valognes and Carentre on the east side of the Normandy Peninsula. Also, it's been revealed that British tanks and infantry have taken a 25-mile stretch of the Normandy coast. From the coast, this force pushed inland about 3 miles, and they cut a road vital to the Nazi movement of men and supplies. A further Allied success has been reported by American Thunderbolt fighter plane pilots. They said that they watched Allied tanks rolling into the outskirts of one town which was in flames. And a British Broadcasting System report says that the bulldozers are being rushed now to clear an airfield on the French coast for use by Royal Air Force planes. Well, that's the story of the hour in France. But what about events in Eastern Europe? What about Russia? What about Russian intentions? Now, no one knows for sure, of course, where or when Russia will move. But we do know it's coming. For Premier Stalin has said that Allied armies from the west and the east would trap the wounded Nazi beast in his lair. Competent military authorities believe Russia will start moving very soon, though some are inclined to doubt that the move will be made by this weekend. Stalin has known since the Tehran conference when the Second Front was going to be opened. Since then, he has had nearly 2 months to regroup his forces, filling in the Soviet ranks with fresh troops from the rear. So it can be said that the time is ripe, that Russia is ready. But it may be that the Russians will withhold their drive until the Germans are more heavily committed in the west. It may be a week or two before the Soviet war machine really gets going, but when it does, Germany will be caught between two mighty armies. Probably the first result of this giant nutcracker will be a German withdrawal from Italy, or abandonment of Commander Kesselring and his forces to face annihilation by our superior army in Italy. And regardless of which course is followed, one thing is certain. Germany's southern front is slated to be cracked wide open, and that includes the Balkans. Meanwhile, the rout of the Germans in Italy grows by the hour. Remnants of the Nazi 14th Army now have been driven some 12 miles beyond Rome. The enemy's 10th Army is being pursued relentlessly through the hills to the east of the Eternal City. And the overall picture, as pointed out by General Alexander, is very good. He says the backbone of the German army in Italy has been broken, and he's called on Italian patriots to rise and fight their Nazi oppressors. And on the other side of the world, the Japanese are being beaten back on both the Asiatic mainland and Biak Island off New Guinea. Our troops are now within a mile and a half of the important Machmir airdrome on Biak Island, and the Japanese troops are withdrawing rapidly from India's Kohima area, after suffering heavy losses. And that, at the moment, is what's new.
One of the nicest and easiest ways I know of to entertain a few friends or neighbors is to invite them over to a buffet supper. Even if you have to be both cook and hostess, you won't mind if you keep it simple. For instance, you might have just one hot dish, say a Creole spaghetti, You can keep that piping hot in the oven till you're ready for it. Then fix a salad of mixed greens, bread and butter, some cookies or a simple loaf cake, and you're all set.
But you haven't made any coffee, Kate.
Well, we'll have plenty of time for that. And, of course, it'll be Sanka coffee, too, so none of the guests will have to worry about their sleep afterwards. You can just drink all you want of it. You can drink it as late as you wish. Sanka coffee won't steal a single minute's sleep from anybody.
You know, it's not coffee itself that keeps so many people awake. It's the caffeine in coffee. And Sanka coffee has had 97% of the caffeine taken out. And it's a very swell coffee, too. It's rich and hearty and satisfying. And it's vacuum-packed. The minute it comes from the roaster, its grand flavor and aroma are sealed in. And that means every pound you get is roaster fresh. So, if you want a coffee that's always fresh and really delicious, and that always lets you sleep, you get Sanka coffee.
Yesterday, from the moment of darkness when the first news flashed in and the lights and radios winked on in home after home across America as the news spread and took fire, and then through the dawn's early light, there arose through the hearts of the people of our country a mighty chorus, a chorus of hopes and prayers, a chorus our boys must hear today. Because they were on the march at last. Under the staccato of the news, you can hear the steady trampling of their marching feet. And every minute of the day through our hearts and heads rang once more the deathless words of our greatest martial hymn of all, electrified with a new meaning, the unconquerable spirit of our greatest crusade. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damp. I can read his righteous sentence by dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. I have read a fiery gospel writ in burnished rows of steel. As ye deal with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of women crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me, as he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, while God is marching on. That was written more than 80 years ago by Mrs. Julia Ward Howe. But everybody still knows these powerful words. It was written at the time of the Civil War when there was anger between the states of the North and South. Those angers are gone. There's only one republic, only one battle hymn. And when before too long now American armies march into Berlin and Tokyo, there will be bands playing the battle hymn of the republic, and men from the South and North and East and West will be keeping step with the music. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you don't write, you're wrong. Goodbye, folks.
This is Ted Collins inviting you to join us again tomorrow when Kate Smith speaks.
Make next winter's strawberry jams and jellies now. And use Sure Gel, the modern powdered pectin that gels jelly with a half-minute boil. Sets jam with a minute's boil. Sure Gel gives you on the average of 50% more finished glasses from the same amount of fruit. So every glass of jam or jelly costs less than the long-boiled kind. Sure Gel's short, short boil saves flavor. Sure Gel's home-tested recipes in each box tells exactly how to handle each different fruit. Be sure with Sure Gel. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.